Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah in the middle of Daf Chof Dalet, 20 lines from the top. Before we begin the actual Mishnah, we glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading, where we've written the following. Based in Mekachin Es HaChodesh, the court sanctifies the new month Al Yedei Amiras Mekudosh by an announcement where they proclaim Mekudosh. B'Mishnah V'Hemshich HaGemora, in the Mishnah and in the continuing Gemara, Muvo Machlokes Tanoim Mosai Mekachim. There will be a Tanaic controversy as to when this formal proclamation takes place. You'll have different possibilities. Nir'eh Bizmano, that's a case where the new lunar phase was viewed the night ushering in the 30th, namely the night after the 29th of the previous month. That's Nir'eh Bizmano, and then the next morning when Beis Din is in session, they would announce Mekudosh. There's another scenario of Nir'eh Shelo Bizmano, where the new phase wasn't visible on the night leading into the 30th, but rather the night leading into the 31st. If that happens, then the previous month is a 30-day month we call a mole, and the new month begins on day 31, which turns into day 1 of the new month. Let's now turn to the Mishnah. Rosh Beis Din Omer Mekudosh. The head of the court announces Mekudosh, sanctified. V'chol ha'om oinin achrov Mekudosh, Mekudosh. And all those that are assembled repeat that twice. Bein shenira bizmano, bein shelo nira bizmano, mekachin oisa. According to the first opinion in the Mishnah then, whether the new phase was seen at its, we'll say, expected time, which is the night into the 30th, or not. Rather, it was seen the next night, the night leading into the 31st. Under both circumstances, the new month is sanctified through this announcement. He says if you're dealing with a month in which the new phase was not seen on the night leading into the 30th, ein mekachin oisoi, then there is no sanctification. Shikvar kichu shomayim. Under such circumstances, so that it's, we'll say, heavenly or arranged that the new month kicks in on day 31, being that the new phase had not been visible at the entrance of day 30. The Gemara, Rosh Beis Din v'chulei, Minohani Mili, from where do we know that there is a formal announcement to be made? Omar Reb Chiya Bar Gamda, Omar Reb Yossi Ben Shol, Omar Rebbe, Omar Kra. So the Pusuk is cited, Vayidaber Moshe es Moyadei Hashem. Mikan, from this we learn, Sheroish Beis Din Oimer Mekudosh. The Pusuk describes Moshe proclaiming the appointed times of Hashem. The Mo'adei Hashem, Mo'ed, has to do with the formal times, a reference in this context to the months whose establishment is also responsible for when the respective holidays will fall out. V'chol ha'om oinin achrov mekudosh mekudosh minolon. From where do we know that there is a public response to the proclamation made by the head of the court? Well, here we have two approaches. Omar av popa, Omar kra. The pasuk says asher tikru'u oisam, and in the Torah the word can be read, because the Torah doesn't have vowels, and the word is spelled aleph tof mem kri bei atem. You can read the same word since there's no vav in the Torah script, you can read it as atem. And then the pasuk is saying, asher tikru atem, that you shall proclaim. There, hence a need for the public to respond. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar, he cites another pasuk, Elohim mo'adai, heim yomru mo'adai. The pasuk says, heim means they, the people in this context, will proclaim my holidays. And holidays are associated with when Rosh Chodesh was established. Hence, from here, Rav Nachman sees the need for the public response to what the Rosh Beis and the head of the court had announced. Mekudesh Mekudesh Trei Zimni Lomali. In the Mishnah, we saw that the public response is a double recitation of the word Mekudesh. Where is that learned, derived from? Answer, Dichtiv, Mikroei Kodesh. And the word Mikroei is a word in the plural. So the minimum plural indicates two proclamations. Twice a proclamation is made, or response on the part of the public. We continue now in the Gemara, which we've numbered with a numbering system here using diamonds 1, 2, and 3. The first is a citation from the Mishnah, Reb Elazar of Sadok, we saw in the Mishnah, and then there follows two more opinions that are brought in a Tanaic source regarding when is the Mekudesh announcement to be made. When meaning under what circumstances? Reb Elazar b'Tzadok Omer, im loy nira bizmanoi ein mekachina. So according to him, if the new lunar phase was seen not on the 30th, but rather on the night leading into the 31st, no announcement. So as far as he is concerned, only when it's nira bizmanoi. Bizmano means on time, the night that we call the night leading into the 30th. Tanya, Flimoi, this is a name, Flimoi Oimer, Bizmanoi Ein Mekachino. So, Shaloi Bizmano Mekachino. So, Flimo represents an opposite opinion to Reb Elazar b'Tzadok. He says that when the new sighting takes place on the 30th, and the court is then informed by the witnesses of the new face, there's no announcement. However, if there is no report on the there's no sighting on the 30th leading into the night leading into the 30th, then, and the month is then extended by a day, the new month coming out then on day 31, which converts into day 1, under those circumstances there will be an announcement. Reb Elazar Reb Shimon Oimer, Bein Kach Ubein Kach Ein Mekachino. So this, as far as Reb Elazar Reb Shimon is concerned, as far there's no announcement ushering in a new month. There's no Mekudosh proclamation. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'kidashtem es shnas ha-chamishim shana. That's a quote from the Pasuk. And we learn from here that shana atom mekadesh v'atom mekadesh chodoshim. Sanctification is something that is exclusively reserved for ushering in a new year, not for ushering in months. Amar Rabbi Yudam Shmuel, halacha k'Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok. Reb Shmuel rules like Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok, who we saw in the Mishnah. Only when it's near Ebizmano is there an announcement. Amar Abai Af Ananami Tanina. Abai wants to bring support to this ruling from the following Tanaic source. Ra'u Beis Din v'chol Yisrael, the new phase was seen by the court and by the entire people. Nechgeru ho'edim v'lo ispiku lomar mekudosh. Let's say you're dealing with a sighting on the 30th of the new phase. So the court saw the new phase, and all the people saw the new phase, and there's formal testimony that takes place also, and they didn't, it was coming to the end of the day apparently, and they didn't have a chance to say Mekudosh Ad Shechashecha until the night of the 31st started. Then Arei Zeh Me'ubar, the month is extended, so that day 30 remains day 30 of the previous month, and the new month will start only the next day, on day 31. In other words, when it says Ad Shechashecha, that's the night ushering in the 31st, and then that will be counted as the new month, day 1 of the new month. And we infer, this is what Abaye tries to do, he tries to infer from here, Me'ubar in Mekudesh Lo, that because the announcement did not take place on day 30, which is we call Bizmano, there is no more announcement made. And all that happens is that the month is extended, but no announcement, because you're dealing with a day 31 situation. The Gemara is not convinced, though, that you see from this Mishnah that the ruling should follow the way of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik. Me'ubar, it's the Richa Leih. The Tanakh source we just read, when it says Me'ubar, isn't here for us to infer, yes, Me'ubar, not Mekudosh, but it's the Mishnah had an agenda. It had to teach me about that it would be Me'ubar. Because that itself is significant, that the month is extended by a day, and that day 30 is part of the previous month. Salkadai techamino. I would have thought, without this source, I would have thought, Hayil v'ra'uhu beizdin v'chol Yisrael. Since the court and all of the people saw the new phase, they had visual contact with the new lunar phase on day 30. Efarsima, it's become well known that the new lunar phase has appeared. Falole abrua, and they shouldn't extend it. And the month shouldn't be extended because the new phase was visible already on day 30. Kamash malon, so the Mishnah has to tell us that under those circumstances, if they didn't announce Mekudosh, then, even though they saw the new moon and everyone saw the new moon, that's not enough. There has to be a formal testimony and an announcement, and that did not take place. Therefore, it is extended. Let's take a look at Rashi, the second line from the very bottom, in the middle. Dehoyol bizmano ra'ub salkadai techamina. I would have thought, without this Tanaic source, lo le'abruha, not to extend the month by a day. Therefore, we have to be taught that it is extended, that the mere fact that everyone saw the new phase is not enough. V'itono harei ze miskadesh lemochar. Had the source said, like, we're trying to have you conclude that there is sanctification on that next day, if it would have said that, harei ze miskadesh lemochar, have amino, I would have come to an incorrect conclusion. I would have thought, le'olam miyoyim kamo misakninon mo'adoseha. Instead of saying, as it says, harezim ubar, if it would have said harezim miskadesh lemochar, I still would have thought that maybe you'll make a formal announcement the next day, but as far as the counting is concerned, it's counted from the day that everyone had seen the new phase. So therefore, it couldn't have taught hareze miskadesh lemochar. That would have misled us. We continue with the new Mishnah, and on the side we have a topic heading, and indicate also, this goes to the bottom of Omid Beis. We have one long sukya, one long discussion, or topic, and it concerns Demus. We've written on the side under the topic heading, Demus Tsuros Levona, Hoyolo L'Ravon Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nossi at the time, the head of the court of in his time, he had the models, if you will, of the moon phase models, and we'll see he used these for the witnesses. So we've written here, Hoyu lo Demus Tsuros Levona, Hoyu lo the Rabbi Gamliel, Hasukya Dona, the Sukya will be preoccupied, will investigate, but Isur Asiyas Tsuros, there's a prohibition that exists in the Pasuk about making certain forms. Al Pia Pasuk and Shmos Chof Lo Sasun Iti. At the end of Parshis Yisro, there is a Pasuk that says Lo Sasun Iti. Structurally, the Gemara has one basic structure from here till the end of Amud Beis. Triangles will appear, and we call them under our Mivneh, the structural note, Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth style of the Gemara, with the point facing up. Kushios, they represent questions, and the inverted triangle with the point facing down are tshuvos, responses. A double underline will be used to highlight the pasuk loy sasun iti. You'll see numerous drushes, numerous explanations regarding this particular pasuk, and hence we've highlighted that with the double underline each time, so you can see the different approach that the Gemara is taking at each stage. And we also have a crown shape highlighting Abaye's name. Abaye is the, we'll call the central opinion that is party to this discussion. Now the Mishnah. The Mus Tsuros Levona Hoyu Lo Rabban Gamliel Betavla. He had, Rabban Gamliel had had moon, Levona is a moon, moon shapes or moon images. Betavla, Tavla is a plate, if you will, a plate, some type of tablet, if you want to translate the word using the phonetic spelling or phonetic sound of this word, tavla, tablet, you can say that, or a plate that had these moon images on it. Ubakoisel, it was hung on his wall, ba'alioso, in his second floor, second story, an attic or second story. Shebahen mara es hadyotis, he would show the commoners, the Omer, and he would ask them, HaKozeh Ro'isa, O Kozeh, the Hedyotos, it would seem from the context that we're talking about people that would come to testify about having seen the new lunar phase. And he would use these moon images to establish the accuracy of their testimony. As we said, the Gemara is going to be focused on one basic topic. And the Gemara opens with a question. Umi shori, is it mutter to make moon images? V'hoksiv, the Pasuk says, loi sasun iti, which means, lo sasun kidmus shamoshai. The word iti means with me. Rashi says, suros ha'omdim iti, images or forms that are with me. So the Almighty commands, don't make the images of those things that are with me, those entities that shamoshai, that serve me. So at the question level, the moon is one of those entities that would be considered my servants. Omar Abaye. Abaye responds, Loi osro Torah elo shamoshim she'efshu lasus kamoison. This is an initial stage of the sugya. The sugya will go through a number of different approaches. But first approach is that when the Torah prohibits this, lo sasuniti, do not make something, what is the Torah asring? It's asring, it's forbidding only things that you can make an accurate replica of. This is in contrast to the moon. You can't make an accurate full-size model of the moon. So, therefore, the moon is not a problem. Now, at this point, you can see we have a bracketed section with a note on the side. Sograyim l'shem dilug. The brackets indicate the suggestion to skip initially. Kedei la'afsher lirois miyad hakushya al-abaye, in order to see immediately the question raised on Abaye. B'soicham muva hareka v'hamokur l'tshuvas abayi. Within the brackets, the Gemara will give you the background and a source for Abaye's answer. But in the meantime, let's take advantage of our markings. Use the bracket length indicator on the left-hand side of the Gemara text and keep following down. You see where the brackets ends? So it ends at a new triangle with the point facing up. What did Abaye say just before this? He said the Torah asks only things that you can make an exact replica of. The Gemara asks on Amud Beis, v'shamoshin she'i efshur lasus kamoison mishari, and those items that serve, those service items that serve the Almighty, those entities that you cannot make an exact replica of, is that allowed? And the Gemara will then proceed with a question. And let's continue now. Let's turn back to the bracketed section. In the meantime, Abaye said that the Torah asks it for prohibits only things that you can make an exact replica of. Kedisanyo, as is taught in the following Tanaic source. Lo yase odom bayis tavnis hechal. A person should not make a house that has the form of the hechal, that's the enclosed part of the Beis HaMikdash. Achsadra, an antechamber, tavnis ulam, that has the same form as the antechamber of the Beis HaMikdash. Chotzer, keneged azor, a person should not design a courtyard that is a replica of the temple courtyard. Shulchan, keneged shulchan, a table like that which was in the Beis HaMikdash. Menorah, keneged menorah, a candelabra should not be made like that which was in the Beis HaMikdash. Aval, oise shel, chamisha v'shel shisha v'shel shmona. However, you can, we're at the top of Amud Beis, you can, however, make a 5, 6, or 8 branch candelabra. V'shel shiva lo yase, however, a 7-branch candelabra you shall not make. Well, that is what the 7-branch candelabra is, that which was in the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, under this prohibition of making exact replicas of that which was there, the 7-branch candelabra cannot be made. Afilu shel shar mine matchis. The first opinion, we have a number 1 over here, when we speak about making exact replicas, even if it's not gold. Gold was the, we'll say, the formal material that was used in the Beis HaMikdash candelabra. However, we learn through klalu prat drosha, special way of expanding upon the pasuk through the oral law, through the Gemara Shetur Shebal Peh, that even though the Torah refers to gold, other metals would have been kosher for the Beis HaMikdash menorah. Therefore, we are proscribed from using those. However, it's worth adding that wood would be okay. According to this opinion, a 7-branched wooden candelabra would be all right. I don't know how safe that is by fire safety standards, but that would be okay. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda Omer af shel eitz lo yaseh. One should not make one of wood either. Kederech she'osu malchei beis chashmonei. In fact, historically, there was a wooden candelabra at the time of the reconquest of the Beis HaMikdash by the Chashmonoyim. We can associate that with the Hanukkah story. And it seems from, according to Rabbi Yossi Yehuda, the Chashmonoyim, which was at a time when there was great poverty, all that they were able to reproduce was a wooden candelabra. Omru lo, the Rabbonon who disagree, and we should point out, Rashi makes reference to it, Rabbi Yossi Yehuda doesn't base his opinion simply on that's because that's what the Chashmonaim did, but they themselves, the Chashmonaim, had a basis in the Pasuk because they darshan the same Pasuk that we alluded to before in a different fashion, in a what's called a ribui umiut fashion, and that will enable you to reach a different conclusion, a more expanded version of what materials are useful. The only material, according to Rabbi Yossi Yehuda, that would not be acceptable would be clay or earthenware, cheres. Omru lo, we continue in our Gemara where the Rabbanan respond to Rabbi Yossi Buda and say, Misham Raya, from the Chashmonoyim, you're trying to bring proof. Shpudin shel barzel hoyu, v'chipum bebatz. They were really branches made of iron, metallic, they were iron, and they were covered with bats. Bats is translated sometimes as tin. It might be that looked, it had a wood look to it, but it was covered with tin. There was no wood, according to their response. Shiru, when they became wealthier, asaum shel kesef, they were made into silver. Chazav Shiru, as time progressed and they became more wealthy, have more funds available. Asaum shel zohov. They were eventually, the candelabra with its branches were eventually made into gold. Now, as we saw before, the Gemara asks on Abaye's answer, v'shamoshem she'er shel asois k'moison mishori, and those Abaye led us to believe that if you're dealing with something that's impossible to make an exact replica of, it would be okay. Here the Gemara is challenging that. V'hotanya, we have once again the same pasuk is cited with a different drasha. Lo sasun iti, lo sasun kidmus shamoshai hamishamshin lefonai bamorom. You are not allowed to make the image of those entities that serve me in the heavens. Omar Abaye. So Abaye responds, Loi osro toiro elodmus arbo ponim bahadi hadodi. When the Torah prohibits this kidmus shamashai, hamisham shefon barom is a reference to the prohibition of making the image of the or four facial images of called creatures or entities that are part of the heavenly throne. These topics, by the way, are somewhat we'll call it esoteric. They're very deep because, after all, when you're dealing with the heavens, you're not dealing with things that are physical in the sense of our association with physicality. But they represent certain ideas. And, of course, it's beyond the scope of human understanding to perceive these things. But, nevertheless, based on Psukim and other drushos, there are four chayos that are said to be referred to here, the four faces that one cannot, is not allowed to replicate. One of those faces, by the way, is a human face. The Gemara asks, according to what Abaye just said, Elo mehato, well, according to this, then, partsuf odom lechudei tishteri. A person, a human face, by itself, should be okay. And we know that's not true. Aloma tanya, why has it been taught, koha partsufos mutoran chutz mi partsuf odom? All facial images are all right, except for a human facial image. Omar Rav Huna Brei Rav Idi. Rav Huna tells us, Mipirkei de Abaye Shmili, I heard from the lectures of Abaye the following, Lo Sasun Iti, Lo Sasun Oisi. And Oisi is a reference to the human face. We say that the person is created, B'Tselem Elokim Bora Es HaOdom. So the word OC literally means don't make me, but it's a reference to a human face. So there's a, we'll call it a special prohibition prescribing called parts of Adam. So at this point, though, you can see that as far as a moon image is concerned, there is no restriction. The Gemara asks, Ushar Shamosha Mishor and other service entities, are they allowed? V'ho Tanya, we have the following source, Lo Sasun Iti, which means lo sasun kedmus shamoshai hameshamshin lefonai bamorom, not to make images of those that those service entities that serve the Almighty in the heavens, kegoin oifanim usrofim v'chayos hakodesh umalachi hashores. These are different types of different entities, different spiritual entities. The last one is maybe the most familiar to us, Malachi Asher, service angels. But you see that all kinds of heavenly service entities are prohibited. Omar Abaye, Lo Osro Toro Elo Shamoshim Shebemodur HaElyon. The Torah, when it prohibits the making of images, it's prohibiting the making of those entities that serve in the Modur HaElyon, the upper heaven. Rashi refers to the seventh heaven. Maybe from that we get the common saying that a person feels like they're in seventh heaven, but there is a concept of multiple layers in heaven. Gemara and Chagiga makes reference to these things. Of course, these are very esoteric for us, but be that as it may, Abaye is still defending the original explanation that he gave, that the moon models aren't prohibited. What is prohibited? Those entities that serve in the upper heaven. The moon is not there. The Gemara asks, and in the lower heaven, service entities, are they allowed? This is a different pasuk from the Ten Commandments, from the Aseres HaDibros. And on the side, we've noted the pasuk, because the pasuk is going to be broken down in the Gemara, then over the next couple of lines. Let's see the entire pasuk together. On the side, Shmos Perek Chof, pasuk Dalid. Lo sa'ase l'cho pesel, V'chol t'muno asher b'shamayim ima v'asher b'oretz mitochas v'asher b'amayim mitachas l'oretz. So the pasuk makes reference to asher b'oretz, and it's asher b'shamayim. So the Gemara asks, and the entities that are in that modur hatachton, are they allowed to be made? Does it not say in the pasuk asher b'shamayim, l'rabo ischama ulevono koychovim umazolos? This includes the sun, the moon, stars, and constellations. Mima'al, also from the pasuk, l'rabois malachei hashoreis, including angels. The Gemara says, ki tanyo ahi l'ovdom. The restriction referred to in that pasuk is worshipping. It's not a restriction in making. So it's true in this source, reference was made to the moon as well, but that's only as far as the prohibition of worshipping. The Gemara asks, Ila Ovdom, if that's the point of the Pasuk, Afilu Shilshul Kotnami, then even a small worm would be prohibited from being worshipped. Well, it says, In Hachinami, you're right. The Pasuk is talking about worshipping. And as far as your reference to the Shilshul Kotan, in fact, that very same Pasuk makes reference to it. Desanya Asher Ba'aretz, as we said, a continuation of that Pasuk, Pasuk Dalin. L'rabois, the Pasuk that says Asher Ba'aretz, that is on land, includes the worship of Horem Ugvos, mountains and hills, yamim, seas, nahoros, rivers, afikim, vigoyos, streams and other entities, mitachas, that's from the posuk, l'rabois, shilshul katan, including the prohibition of worshipping a little worm. So, up till this point, as far as the moon models are concerned, there doesn't seem to be any restriction. Question, Vasio Gradesa Mishari, and the making of the simple making, Gradesa means simple or by itself, without the issue of worship. The simple making and manufacture of moon models, is that allowed? Mishari, is that allowed? Or Tanya? We have again, Loi Sasuniti, Lo sasun kidmus shamoshai hamishamshin lefonai. Do not make. This pasuk doesn't deal with worship. It deals with making. Do not make images of those things that serve me. Kagon chama ulavona kechavu mumazolus. And we emphasize here lavona. Do not make moon images. Well, does that not then create a big problem for Rav Gamliel? Shiny Rav Gamliel. Rav Gamliel is different. The achirim osulo. He didn't make it. Gentiles made it. This pasuk is not a pasuk that prohibits Gentiles from the action of making models. Question: for all Rabbi Yehuda, there's an incident involving Rabbi Yehuda. He had a signet ring with an image on it that others made for him. The Acherim Asula, it was a case of others having made it for him. The Amalei Shmuel, the Rabbi Yehuda, and Shmuel noticed Rabbi Yehuda having this, and he said to him, Shinana. Shinana means wise one or sharp one, referring to Rabbi Yehuda. Sami Aine Dedain, which basically means efface the image, rub out the image that's on your ring. The Gemara responds, Hasam Chosamoy Boilate Have Omisum Hashoda. There, the case of Rabbi Yehuda and his ring, it was a case of an image that was bolate. Bolate means it was protruding outwards. It was like a relief image. Something that had was not set in or carved into his ring, but rather was something that protruded forth from the ring. It was above surface, if you will. Kidisanya, as is taught, and the Gemara said, Mishum Chashada, because by having something like that, people could get the wrong idea and they'll think that it's your idol and you worship it. Kedisanya, and we see this idea in the following source. This source deals with rings and images on rings. Tabas choisomoy boilet, a ring whose choisom, which is the signet part of the ring, is protruding. Osur lahanicha, one is forbidden to wear it. Umutur lachdombo, however, one can use it. He can keep it in his drawer and use it for sealing things. People would use this as in the context of, let's say, sealing wax. They would seal a document with some wax and then make this imprimatur with the ring. Imprimatur bulging outwards, so the image that it would make would be an image that's dug out. That's set into the wax, not protruding from it, but rather beneath the surface of the wax. In other words, pushed into the wax. Chosamoy shoikea, if one has a ring like that where the image was pushed into the ring, then muter lohanicha, you can wear such a ring. There's no problem of people thinking that it's a source of idolatry. The osur lachtombo, but you cannot use it for sealing, because when you use a signet ring whose image is set in, the resultant image is actually something that's bulging out. The Gemara asks, Umi chayshinon lechashoda? Is this something we really have to consider, that what others are going to think? Fall under suspicion? Is that something that should concern us? There was a Beit Knishta, a synagogue, a shul, and its name was Shof V'Yosef. The name of the shul was the synagogue of Shof V'Yosef in the town of Nahardo. The Hava Bay Andarto, there was a statue in honor of the king that was in this shul. The Havu Aili Ravu Shmuel, the Avur de Shmuel, the Levi, four very pious leading rabbinic figures would go into that shul, umatzlu, and pray in that shul, umatzlu hasam, and daven there. Velo chayshi lechashodan, they weren't concerned that people might think that they're worshiping this statue. The Gemara answers, Rabim Shaini. When you're dealing with a public setting, so then there is no concern. People are not going to fall under suspicion when it's a public setting. The Gemara asks, V'ha Rabban Gamliel Yochid Hu? But Rabban Gamliel was a private setting. It was he had these moon images in his house, so that we pointed out that even though others made it for him, but there is an issue of suspicion. Suspicion is alleviated only when you're dealing with something of a public nature, but in a private nature, it's a problem. The Gemara answers, no, Rabban Gamliel was not a private setting. Kevon de Nosihu, since he was the leader of the people of the time, Shchichi Rabim Gabe, the public frequented his place, and therefore there was no suspicion, no chashad. Iboy Seima, another explanation to justify Rabban Gamliel and his moons, the prokim have it wasn't a complete image. It was an image that was made of pieces that when he needed to investigate the witnesses, he would put it together. So it wasn't something that would have created chashad because it was never put together in the first place, other than the times that he needed it for the purpose of the witnesses. B'boy Esema, another explanation of Rabban Gamliel and the moons, and even though they're would be a problem otherwise in making and having those things made, lislamed ovad. It was made for educational, for teaching purposes. Uksiv, and the posuk says, lo silmad la'asois, that you're not allowed to learn from the ways of the heathens, the idol worshippers, in order to follow in their practices. Aval ato lomed lahavinu lahoros, but you can study, you can learn from them in order to understand what their practices are, and in order to teach matters of idolatry and other prohibited practices. So Rabban Gamliel had the moon image not for worshipping purposes, chas v'sholom, but rather he had them for these called falling in the realm of educational purposes, to discover whether the witnesses saw something that was of an accurate nature. So in that context, Rabban Gamliel was on safe ground. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in the context of accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.